Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is part two of episode 290 with Jack Sexsmith. As I mentioned in the outro of part one, things get a bit dicey here. I touched upon the Brit Wrestling Twitter community in the last episode, and it's a mad place, man, because there's so much to celebrate in wrestling in general and in British wrestling at the moment. Yet so much of the discussion online seems to be negativity and about the negative things and conspiracy. And don't get me wrong, when people have undoubtedly acted appallingly, like the recent Rev Pro incident and things like that, I'm not saying you shouldn't be shouting about that. Obviously, you should be shouting about that. There were some disgraceful actions. And there's been a few different things, but I don't know. I just get so much more negativity that I see on social media about wrestling when wrestling is something that gives me a huge amount of joy, and I'd rather rave about that. I mean, the stuff we talk about here, we talk about all the different options and all the different scenes. Now, I love NXT and NXT UK. I also love AEW. I also love attending Progress and Riptide. And there's places I want to attend, like OTT and Sheldon Friends and Fight Club Pro and ICW and Attack. There's so many good places I want to go and witness things, but it seems that so much of wrestling these days is based on who you don't like rather than who you like, or who you like informing who you don't like, if you know what I mean. Like AEW fans will jump at every chance to attack WWE fans, and WWE fans will jump at every chance to attack AEW fans or indie fans or Ring of Honor fans or whomever else. And it's dumb, man. For me, just all enjoy wrestling. I honestly don't have a bias anywhere in any of this. I mean, as we record this, if I'm well enough, later in the week, I've been invited to go and visit the NXT UK Performance Centre. I'm buzzing for that. That's going to be mad. I love that stuff. And I'll mention now as well, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, NXT UK are in Brentwood, which is up the road from me. So get down to that. It looks like it's going to be an amazing show. That takeover, since we recorded this, at NXT takeover Cardiff has happened, and that match with Tyler and Volta was one of the best matches I've ever seen. So I have no shame in shouting proudly that I'm a fan of NXT and NXT UK, but then equally I'm buzzing to get back down to Riptide, because I've missed a few recently, and I'm buzzing to get down to Progress, because I made it to Natural Progression, I couldn't make it to Ali Pali. Anyway, I'm rambling on now because I've got a bit of a fever, but my point is, you don't all have to pick sides and kind of hate each other. It's not football teams. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to pick your team and hate everyone else's team. You can enjoy all of it. And I'm going to get tons of stick for this probably now, but equally, chill on the conspiracy theories. There's so much conspiracy theory about WWE. And then, as I said, it goes the other way as well. Are we talking this section about the independent stuff with that Jack's involved with James Musselwhite and David Starr? And there's so much conspiracy theory or rumour over that kind of thing as well from either side. It's madness. Anyway, I'm bringing up, I'm starting scandal before we've even got to the scandal. I hope you enjoy part two. I love Jack Sexsmith, and I love that we discuss things in this. There's a few things he puts forward that I don't necessarily agree with. And we discuss it back and forth. And the beauty is that kind of neither of us have a horse in the race anymore. I guess Jack kind of does, because he's still obviously very involved in wrestling, but I don't have a horse in the race, so please don't think that there's any reason other than discussion, debate, and opinion. And yeah, follow Jack. I can't wait to see what he does next. Let's get on with the podcast. I've rambled on so much. Again, if this is your first time tuning in, previous wrestlers I've had on include Chris Jericho, Eddie Dennis, Jack Gallagher, and Will Ospreay. So give them a listen. All right, this is part two of episode 290. Apologies for our rambling. Oh, this is. I think I mentioned in part one that I'm just coming off of a fever, but I'd run out of time to record the intros, so I'm still slightly delirious. But this is episode two, part two of episode 290 of the Distraction Pieces podcast with the wonderful Jack Sexsmith. So I mean, we've talked about the progression, no pun intended, of the character. There's something I want to talk about that kind of is, it plays in a little bit to one of the things that Paul Robinson went off on in his promo. But to find a good character, you need to bring elements of reality, mm-hmm. of yourself into it. An essential part of independent wrestling is merch. And merch sales and T-shirt sales. Mm-hmm. If you develop a character who part of what you love about him is the cause that he's involved in, it becomes a real big conflict, because part of your job is to sell merch so you can afford to be a wrestler. But then with David Starr and the independent stuff racing, and with yourself as an LGBT ambassador, there's then pressure. And again, I know you chose to set stuff up and do a label, but there's then pressure, regardless of if you've done that, to donate some of that to a charity, to a cause. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's a really tough situation to be in, because neither is wrong. The pressure on the whole independent thing to be donating to unions, all sorts of things like that, I get it. But I also get that it's wrestling and it's a character, and part of your earning is merch sales. So if you've nailed your character, you shouldn't then be punished by... Not punished, because, again, it's good to support these causes and you truly believe in it, but it is kind of, you're then going, all right, now you earn less, essentially, because you've made this amazing LGBT character, for example. How was that? And how did you kind of go about that in your mind of, what should I be doing to support? What should I be doing to support myself?
I went in... I sort of compartmentalised that to a point. So I knew I'd continue to produce what I called Sexsmith merchandise, which would be loud, gregarious, animated.
I mean,
not the nicest always of T-shirts.
I need to mention, and I'll probably repost the picture, but I was wearing, you gave me one of your T-shirts to wear when we did Tuesday Night Draw.
Yeah.
And it's one of my most reposted pictures, because you only had a small, and I was working out a lot at that time.
Gassed.
So I look like just the biggest. I look like the wrestler of the group.
Mate,
of us.
I remember seeing that and I was going, whoa.
And I was just like,
Pips put on that mask.
I reposted that so many times. I was like, I look amazing, because I'm not really a tight shirt wearing guy. Yeah. So I go for different levels of fitness, but it's not really documented anywhere. And I was like, I can share that loads and not feel, I'm sharing it, I'm helping with merch and that. But
bless you. No, but that was the kind of thing that I was producing as Sexsmith. That was my Sexsmith apparel.
Yeah, exactly.
Of colours, bearing in mind the Wrestle fan base in this country wears black tees full stop.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted to create an alternative with my Sexsmith stuff. And then when I launched Proud, Sexsmith had already associated himself with a proactive LGBT movement,
mm-hmm.
because it's in keeping with my belief systems as well.
Yeah.
And when I set up Proud, I knew I wanted to donate a quarter of my profits.
Yeah.
Because I felt that this was trying to further establish a movement, and in doing so, I felt like contributing.
Yeah. And who did you work with there? Or who did you donate?
Stonewall.
Was it Stonewall?
That's Stonewall, and that was great, man. That was great. And then, again, as I say, I was talking with Brooks about a lot of how best to market this. Many of the boys were just happy to put on a tee and show that they supported the cause.
Again, I can imagine that, because, again, it felt like it was
or it was, but it makes sense that Brooks, because it's what he does with his stuff, is it felt like it was a clothing brand. It didn't feel like here's a new Jack Sexsmith shirt or a wrestling shirt, whatever. It was like, no, here's a brand. I like your suplex type stuff, do how they do. It's associated to wrestling.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily about a wrestler or this or that.
What it became in my head was the equivalent of rainbow laces.
Right.
In football and rugby.
Yeah.
It was just a t-shirt that would be used to support a cause, but in essence isn't wrestling merchandise. It's just a fashion piece was the agenda of it. And I'm gutted the more and more I think about this. I had a real low spell during the sort of last year or so that I wrestled, where I really took my eye off the ball with Proud Apparel. And I felt like I should have and could have done so much more with it. Right. It could have been utilised, and I should have been setting up business meetings and stuff like that. But my headspace was so bad that I gave up on that.
Yeah.
And I regret that. That's a big regret of mine.
Was it hard putting your sexuality at the forefront of a character? Because I always remember I was watching you with Regal, actually, when Regal was at one of the shows. And he was, we were both loving what was going on and the story that was being told. And he was like, "So is that a character or is that real?" And I was like, "I don't know. Actually, I've never thought to ask. So it must be a weird one because you're being so open, but you're also essentially not. Because it's easy. It's like, oh, this is a character. Is it a character? Isn't it a character? How was that to have that kind of thing at the forefront when it is something that you struggled with in the past because of religion and because of other things?
Yeah.
You go, here I am, but also, am I? Yeah, I might be."
I think Jack was always like Batman for Bruce Wayne for me.
Yeah.
Of just like, he is the type of person I want to be.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, he was my mask of just and my strength in that regard. Like, it didn't, when I put on that mask, then I could be that strong and go out there and take all the hits.
Yeah.
And represent and try and represent as well as I can.
Yeah.
It wasn't hard because I felt like it was the right thing to do. And I felt like the audience was more ready now than it had ever been for a babyface queer culture representative in professional wrestling.
Yeah.
The hardest thing about it wasn't the homophobia I got, because I got a lot of that, but that was quite easy to brush off, really, because a homophobe is a homophobe, they don't get it.
Yeah.
That was fine.
Where did you find you got the most of that? Was that at shows? Was that online? What was
Scarcely at shows.
Yeah.
Scarcely.
Because again, I can't imagine it at a show. I can imagine one person saying something and get shouted down by everyone else, as you see every now and then with misogynistic chants or anything like that. I like that it's a scene that seems to police itself reasonably well.
Yeah.
Not perfectly, but reasonably well.
Yeah, and there's times when people get caught up and lost in it, and then they have to question themselves and go, well, I'm not really that person. I did that because I was at the football, and sometimes they do that at the football or something. You know what I mean?
I wanted attention. I thought it'd be funny. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, no, that's not
my father speaking. Oh, yeah. Not so much there, but online I'd get more than a bit.
Right.
And I wouldn't try to draw attention to it because I didn't feel like it helped or was necessary.
It's interesting because, I'd never noticed that. That hadn't crossed my mind that was happening. So it's clearly not something that you're retweeting and saying, isn't this disgraceful or anything like that.
Maybe I did it once or twice, but I wasn't ever happy that I ever did it, in truth. Most of the time, because they'd go, I can't believe you sent your fan base to attack me.
Yeah.
Shut up, you twat.
Yeah.
It wasn't something I wanted to draw attention to because I wanted the message to be positive.
Yeah.
I didn't want to show people that it can be that hard. I'll show you the reality of it if you want to reach out to me, but I'm putting this face on.
Yeah.
And this face is unbreakable.
Yeah.
The hardest thing was when people who support the cause said I wasn't a good enough representative.
Right.
That one was like...
It can be a really tough world, can't it? I remember chatting to a mate of mine and because everything has to have labels and everything has to live up to certain things, he said he found it harder coming out to his gay friends when he'd met a girl than he found coming out as gay when he originally realised that, because he realised he was bisexual. And again, I was listening to Dan Lesak's podcast recent. His guest was one of the guys who writes The Quietest. I can't think of his name, but he's bisexual. And he stated, and it's a really valid point, it's like, there's no such thing as a bisexual man in society these days. He's like, I am one, but there's no such thing as one. I'm just gay.
Yeah.
To people on the outside, I'm just gay.
Yeah, true.
I'm not a bisexual man. It's like, I am bisexual. I like men and I like women. Yeah. Or you can be pansexual and go on personality or emotional connection rather than any physicality. But that doesn't exist. If you're male, that just means you're gay.
Yeah.
It's such a weird shorthand. For women, you can be bisexual because men will allow that. Because that's quite hot.
Yeah,
right. That's quite cool. Ooh, but it's such a weird world that's such a hard thing to accept. And it's why...
The pansexual
element, and that would bring so many conversations up, which I thought was a great thing.
That was another point as well, of sort of going, if I wanted to be safe with it, I'd have said I was bisexual.
Yeah.
But I wanted to introduce people who'd never heard it to the term pansexuality.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
Yeah.
It's real when it exists, and it's a big thing.
Yeah.
The hardest thing, going back to that, is people on the outside will just say, yes, gay. Some people on the inside, if you're in a pansexual, bisexual relationship with someone of the opposite sex, will say you're not gay enough.
Yeah, completely.
And that was the thing that really hurt.
You're not into either world because it's like, you're not really gay.
Yeah.
You've taken the easy route.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I always found that stuff hurt more than any. I did an interview in The Sun.
Yes, I remember that.
And it did everything I wanted it to.
Yeah.
It really did. But... the backlash I ensued from certain people, again, loads of homophobia. Oh, right, I'll wash that off. So I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
But.
That's going to happen if you do an interview in The Sun about a dog.
Yeah.
Literally about anything, you're probably going to get a load of homophobia from them.
But, yeah. I knew I was stepping into enemy territory of sorts.
But that's important. And that's the whole point. It's easy to preach to the converted. Point. Yeah.
That was the whole point. You don't make no noise in echo chamber.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
So the hate I got for daring to make money for this newspaper really hurt. Really hurt because I was families, young kids ain't buying these newspapers.
Yeah.
They're not clicking onto their websites and that but if they get a chance to see the article and they are, I don't care if they're right wing, I just want to tell them it's okay. If I can do this in the wrestling world, you can be you in whatever you do in your life.
Completely.
That was all I wanted to do.
I think it's such a tough, and again, it's the way of, there's no social media has removed nuance so heavily from all of these discussions and debates, and I completely understand people hating The Sun.
Yeah,
some of the stuff they've done is appalling. Absolutely. And despicable. Yeah. But it's picking your battles. And if you're going in there to talk about something positive like that, like I've turned down interviews when we were promoting our album in The Sun before because at that point I was against The Sun. If The Sun had asked me to come and talk about a cause that I believe in,
that'd
be a different thing because it's like, right, I'm going, as you said, you're going behind enemy lines to say, look, I know you all think I'm disgusting.
Yeah.
But let me explain why I might not be.
Yeah.
And let me explain why, if you're sitting there amongst these people, why you're not disgusting if you're thinking this way. I know they're all saying that I'm disgusting, but I want you. I will happily take all of them thinking I'm disgusting as long as I can let out one person who's got it in the back of their head, let you know that you're not disgusting for thinking this way or wanting to be this way.
And I was fortunate enough to know the journalist.
Yeah.
And I knew that I need to have a degree of trust in the person who was going to be telling my story. And he sent me drafts and reworks and stuff like that over and over again to make sure that this message wasn't going to be sold as some right-wing propaganda piece.
Yeah.
It was everything I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
And it worked. It just took a lot of strength to overcome that one. That one was hard.
Yeah.
That one was a hard take.
Oh, that'll stop in a minute. It's a quick fire alarm.
Okay. What sort of ship do you run,
Pip? I reckon it's just a test. There we go. that was just to tell us that we're coming to the end of the podcast. all joking aside, we are coming to the end of the podcast. But before we do, so we've talked about your journey, the development of the character, the impact it's had. Because again, I do think it's a long-term impact. It's weird. If Jack Sexsmith had been a character in the WWE... on Raw, so on and so forth, the reach is obviously endless and huge, but there is still that barrier of TV, of fantasy land. And I think being that character in front of real people in the room with them, the barrier isn't there. And it really, I think it has that impact and has that direct effect that you, or unignorable effect, that on TV you can kind of ignore elements that you don't agree with or don't like. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're in the room there and everyone else is enjoying it and no one else is going, oh, it's a bit gross though.
Yeah.
They're all going, this is great. There was, I always remember there was a tag match. I'm sure it was a you and David star, but I can't remember who you were against. And there was a kiss kind of sequence. Mm. And it would, in the old days, it would be played that the gay / bi / pan guy would kiss the other guy and it'd all be disgusting. Yeah. But it became a jealousy thing.
Yeah.
The other guy wanted to kiss this guy. Yeah. And it became this, all of these wrestlers who have no kind of character of anything about their sexuality, it then became this amazing one-upsman thing of like, well, no, if you're kissing him, I'll kiss him.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's that kind of thing. It's beautiful because there will be people who, if they're not used to being exposed to all sexualities, will have that ingrained reaction of, oh, it's a bit, boys kissing. You didn't give them the option in that. It was like, no, this is just part of it. Enjoy it. Everyone else is enjoying it. This is a high spot.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. It's a beautiful thing. But yeah, so I guess, sorry, to start to wrap things up, before we talk about what is possibly ahead, let's give some kind of shouts and recommendations to people that you think are really good and, you know, have got a great future or people should be keeping an eye out for. As I said, going to Riptide, Cara Noir was just the biggest eye-opener for me. I'd heard about him, didn't really know much, and I was blown away and haven't shut up about him since.
Yeah.
But is there anyone that stands out to you that you feel is already getting attention but deserves more or isn't getting or has got the potential?
I think the OJMO is someone up and coming this year.
Hell of a year, right?
Mate, incredible. Absolutely incredible. He's someone that I feel I invested in because he came through the same developmental school as I did.
Yeah.
That I took some time out to make sure he was being nurtured correctly and thinking about the game in the right way.
He's got that's something, isn't he?
He walks
out and people are like, whoa,
He has that, but his commitment to selling moves is spectacular.
Yeah. I saw him on a dark match, I think, at Progress originally.
Yeah.
Tagged up with Big T.
Yeah.
And I was like, instantly, I was like, just the stuff he was saying, his little in-between bits was wonderful. And it was clear he was green as anything. But even on that match, like,
you've got
this guy's going to be good.
Mate, what I always get annoyed by, I've probably invested in like three people ever.
Yeah.
One of them was Spike Trevay, the other one, Ojmo, another one, a young lad called JJ Lynch, who, if he wants it, he's got a massive future.
Yeah.
He really, really does. And then I got really annoyed at myself because I found out they all had theatrical backgrounds and I just went, oh, my fandom is so hollow. I like what I like, don't I?
I love it.
Spike can take the world by storm this year. He's improving week by week.
He's another one whose just promos are flawless. His character is flawless, which therefore makes the promos almost a given.
I will always regret not being able to do a 15-minute promo segment in ring with him where we could just talk.
Yeah.
Because we would have cut each other to pieces.
Yeah.
And it would have been a real, real test for me as well. I would have loved to have done that.
It's one of the things I liked. Again, we're on a Riptide and a Progress hype, but they're the two I've been to the most and have really connected with. But I loved at that same event, at that same heartbreaking event, they had Cara Noir against Pac.
Yeah.
Almost called him Neville, but Pac. I don't like to dead name any wrestlers. And that was an amazing match in and of itself, but the beautiful thing was they've still got that thing of, no, it's about our talent. So they had Spike and everyone come out at the end and storm and attack and progress the storyline.
Yeah.
Not just have someone turn up, do their thing and
have a barn burner and then all the best. Yeah.
It's always, let's progress the storyline. Yeah. Let's build the wrestlers that we're building.
That whole match and then the arrival of Spike, everything involved in that gave Cara my spot. We just swapped.
Yeah.
Cara stepped into the momentum I had
and
is now exactly the guy, and rightfully so, because he is utterly sensational. He's had a hell of a year as well. he's benefited a lot from the exclusivity that NXT UK is putting on its talent.
Yeah.
And the gaps that have been open on cards are being filled by the likes of him and a Robbie X.
Yeah.
And it's talent that's been here for years but haven't been afforded that platform.
I mean,
so I'm absolutely ecstatic for him because he's class.
Let's talk about that a little bit. The state of Brit wrestling. Everyone, there was all this stuff of it being dead recently and
yes,
all that.
Yes, was, wasn't there?
The thing is, I tried to look all that up and all I saw was people giving reasons it's not dead. I didn't see anyone actually giving reasons it was dead, but I genuinely, I've said this a few times, the example I give as the easiest is if Nakamura and AJ and Anderson and Gallows hadn't, and Finn even, hadn't come to WWE, we wouldn't have got Omega Okada, what Ospreay's doing out there at the moment, or what Zach's doing out there at the moment, all these amazing people just absolutely smashing it. And I see that as the same with the WWE things. With I think the WWE UK stuff is amazing. I personally adore it. I think it's great. But also, I love that it's giving gaps and giving space to all of these. If Riptide had just had British Strong Style at the top of the card the whole time, who, again, that's not throwing any shade. They're three of the best that will ever be in British wrestling.
Yeah,
if they had just been at the top the whole time, and even Havoc and all sorts of other people, then there wouldn't have been room for you, for Chuck, for TK, for Spike to have this time and space. And I think that's kind of how the industry works, right?
I think it should be. I think it should be as well. There is, I do have a degree of cynicism and worry about the WWE UK desire to monopolise.
Right,
But fundamentally, there will be gaps on cards. There will be people who turn down offers.
Yeah.
And will continue to put on spectacular shows.
Yeah.
I feel that Defiant's recent demise is largely because of WWE.
Right, that's interesting.
That's a controversial statement. This is my own and not the views of the Distraction Pieces podcast.
No, go ahead. Again, it's interesting because people often think that I'm WWE mark or shill. I'm not. I like to get angry about stuff that's happened rather than stuff that might happen.
Yeah, no,
3 hours Raw. It's shit. I can't stand it. It's far too much. Yeah. There's so much of the main roster I don't enjoy. I don't like the idea of the rumours that NXT is going to 2 hours and Vince is taking more control. Mm-hmm. I don't like the sound of any of that, but I'll get angry about it even when it happens.
Yes, of course.
Rather than all these rumours and theories in advance. But
Defiant's model was always YouTube-centric.
Yeah.
Given their association with What Culture.
Right.
And WWE monetized YouTube at the expense of other wrestling shows.
Right, I see. Yeah.
And that sort of cut the legs out from underneath them. They also were very much adverse to their talent appearing on Defiant shows, as What Culture is very critical of WWE in many ways.
Right, I see.
So by association, they were hurt for talent loss, but no one else has been hurt for talent loss. So we have to look at both sides on that.
It's tough ones, isn't it?
It's really tricky, mate.
I remember
really
hearing that there was all these restrictions on WWE talent, and then speaking to one of the guys in WWE, one of the wrestlers, I'm not going to name any names, but they kind of said, no, we just have to have medics there. That was their contract thing. And initially, again, it might have changed. I know there's been more restrictions put on, but on that, I was like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Shows should have medics. Yeah. It's really dangerous and really important. So I'm not that mad. But again, at that point, there was all this uproar. And it's like, well, you're getting angry and not having the facts there.
Yeah.
So,
no, that was definitely something for certain shows. Other shows, they cannot appear.
Yeah.
I think my fear is the biggest shows on the scene now have to have a relationship with a mainstream wrestling company to thrive.
Yeah, either New Japan. Because again, I don't see New Japan discussed enough in it as well. There's obviously restrictions on the talent there as well. So, and you know, I'd imagine there might be some with AEW when they're up and running and when they're
surprised.
Going. You'd think that would make sense. Most of their talent has specifically moved out there, so they've obviously got real roles and real. You know, this is a
they've got a big fight on their hands. At first, they've got to compete for domestic territory, domestic viewership first and foremost.
Yeah, 100%.
But once they secure that, they will start coming over here. They provide the adult alternative to a WWE.
I love it. I think it's great.
Honestly, the start of this year was sensational.
Or for me, it was really emotional seeing Jimmy get his chance out there. Because he feels like he, from a wrestling point of view, I've never known anyone who seems more supportive of everyone else and not that kind of jealous, oh, they're stealing my spots.
Yeah.
But no matter how supportive you want to be or try to be, it must fucking hurt when you've been that guy on the scene for a long time and you're not going to fit in WWE and you're not going to fit here and you're not going to fit there. So you're going to end up just, you know, it starts to get depressingly like the film The Wrestler.
Yeah,
it does. And that's a fucking horrible thing. It was so beautiful when AEW came out and seeing him getting a huge reaction every time and wrestling the best wrestling I've seen him wrestle in fucking years, looking in the best shape.
Yeah.
All that kind of thing. It's such a beautiful thing that that's come about and gone, right, there is an option outside of WWE.
Suddenly.
Outside of Japan. You know, if you don't fit these moulds that...
Which was, you had three moulds.
Yeah.
You had Triple L or something like that as well. So you had to be three very specific type of wrestlers.
Yeah.
You had to be able to, if you're happy getting the shit kicked out, you go to Japan.
Yeah.
If you can do a flip or two, you go to Mexico. And if you could entertain children, you go to WWE.
Yeah.
That was all you had. Everything else was jumping around the indie circuit and then trying to get something that was living wage.
Yeah.
And now there is something in an AEW, which I have all the hope in the world, that's taken on a friend of mine like Jimmy, who never fit those demographics before. And fingers crossed he gets to smash it, because if you invest in Jimmy Havoc, Jimmy Havoc built Progress.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Havoc is the most important character to wrestle in Britain since Big Daddy.
It's amazing.
Because you think about Marty's and Zach and Will.
Yeah.
They were massive. But they went abroad and became massive.
Yeah.
And I think the talent has always been here. Yeah. Jimmy didn't necessarily go anywhere. Jimmy built this house.
Yeah.
And then someone like a Pete took it on and is continuing to point eyes at it through his association with WWE.
Yeah. I agree with all of that. Again, all of those people you list had butted heads with Jimmy, had feuds with Jimmy over here. That's where they started that and grew and things like that.
If you got a result against Jimmy, suddenly you have to pay attention to that person.
Yeah.
Because he was the benchmark.
Yeah.
And in many ways, he still is. I think if you're writing the history books of British professional wrestling, Jimmy Havoc has a chapter to himself.
Yeah. So the last two things, I keep trying to wrap this up, but I just want to talk for ages, mate. No, that's it. I just keep going on more things.
I can give you a controversial statement if you want one.
Yeah, go ahead. Go on. What have you got?
I went for a WWE tryout.
Yeah.
And they told me that they would not be looking to take me on because they would not know how to market me without alienating their biggest consumers.
Man, that's shocking, isn't it?
Was, at the time, I really appreciated their honesty.
Yeah.
I think the tryout went really quite well, actually. I was happy with it anyways. But that one was one that definitely on reflection, you're sort of looking at someone like Fergal protesting wearing his rainbow gear.
Yeah.
But they're allowed to support a movement, but they can't be out.
And again, it's Fergal protesting or Finn Balor, for anyone who's not clear. It's always on the sly.
I messaged him after that.
It always feels like it has to be kind of on the sly, in the quiet. It's never at the forefront that he's making this statement. Do you know what I mean? He's not given the chance to do it. It's on his socials, which again is as forefront as he can get as an individual. That's not, that's me praising him, but still seeing even he's having to kind of go, by the way.
It's interesting. I think they are trying to monopolise to a point. I think they are a right-wing organisation. Certainly Trump voters and Republicans has been seen by their activity within politics.
Yeah.
They did the Daniel Bryan character recently where he came out about consumerism and veganism, and they tried to market that as the antagonist.
I spoke to Spike about this at Riptide, because how mad is it that he's being a heel by being a right-wing Tory? Mm-hmm. And in the WWE, their main heel at that point is a left-wing, vegan, anti-consumerism.
It's
interesting because it's tough as well, because just to kind of play devil's advocate here, it's a company that's built so much on an individual, Vince.
Yeah.
And I think Vince is very much in that area. He's been a big Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Him and Linda were given some kind of roles or some, whether it was... in name only, they were given some kind of roles or nod when Trump became became in charge. It doesn't feel as if any of that is in your NXTs and in your NXT UKs and stuff like that, because they feel like they're Triple H's little side company. And I don't get that vibe off him. He doesn't give me the
From what I understand, Trump his involvement, vibe. Vince's involvement isn't in those shows at all.
Yeah. So that's where it gets weird as a company, because as a company, they're not a company, if you know what I mean. The bits that Vince seems in control of seem one way. The bits that he isn't in control of seem another way.
NXT was a very, very smart thing that they did to provide something for the fan base, the adult fan base that needed the alternative to what SmackDown and Raw were.
Because
they knew that that was their money makers. That was for families and children and continue to perpetuate right-wing agenda and family notions and concepts like that.
Yeah.
Traditional values, if you will.
Yeah.
And then you have something like NXT, which is just doesn't look like there's a great deal of politics within it.
No,
but there is. They still have this room for experimentation and characterization that you get on the indies.
Yeah,
with someone like a Velveteen.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
Velveteen's a great example of a real.
Yeah, face. I hated it when I first saw him. I went, "What's the fucking point?"
He's fucking good though, isn't he? But again, it's a real face that isn't those traditional values. Mm. It's blurring all lines of gender, sexuality, of all these other things.
I think,
and that's it. That's within the WWE in a way. But I said they do feel like two separate things.
But they also have such sway now with their with the companies that they're parent to.
Yeah,
you can see their input on their shows.
Right. Yeah.
And that's the thing over here where this is where I think the talk of BritRest failing is when you have that influence from the outside.
Yeah.
That isn't even British.
Yeah.
What does that say about the product you can produce?
Yes, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because
I'm fascinated to see where they go with David Starr.
Yeah.
Fascinated.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they've got the set to actually do it? Do you reckon they'll be told, no, you cannot do it?
In progress, I assume you mean more here. Yeah. Again, it's interesting because it's a tough one of knowing what you would class as influence. I don't know. Again, this is completely, I've not spoken to anyone. I don't know anything. It would surprise me if your Vince's or whoever give a shit what's going on in progress.
Mm-hmm.
It would surprise me if your Triple H's or whomever are directly, to an extent, are directly saying this. I can understand music rights type stuff because there is all the rumours of the network is going to have an indie section being added to it at a different premium, all this. I saw some document that was online the other day. But equally, as we know, Jim, John and Glenn do NXT UK.
Yeah.
So they're going to naturally start to have a proclivity of how things work over there, and that's naturally going to leak in. So again, how much of it is dictated, how much of it is natural kind of, well, here's what we do. Oh, we want to bring this person up to here at some point, so we need to build them in this way to make it fit and work. It's an interesting one.
I know it's tough. And I know I'm going off things I hear rather than things I see at the minute.
Yeah.
But
it's understandable, I think, too, though, right? Because you're in the middle of it all, and it's people and a scene that means the world to you. So even if it is just stuff you hear, it's a weird one.
I don't know. I still feel like there's stuff I shouldn't say.
Yeah.
Somehow. Maybe one day. Maybe I'll ask, do you want to have us back, and we'll go for balls to the wall. But
we'll do another one.
There's
at
other
some
people's
point.
Stories that I'd need to get the nod to tell.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because again, it's for me as a fucking mark, it's the blurred lines of it all. David Starr's a great example of that. Of his new thing, it's a character, but it's not a character. It's a character, but it's something he believes in.
Yeah,
Progress is one company who've embraced that and rocketed it with the strong style thing and all this kind of thing. And but then there's an internet backlash against it. Oh, that's what I was going to say. What issue did you have with Robbo's? You said there were certain elements you weren't sure of.
There's no issue with Robbo at all. The delivery of this promo is absolutely phenomenal.
Mind-blowing.
You believe he believes every word.
Yeah.
I think it's a heel promo.
Yeah.
He is saying, from an ignorant working-class perspective, I don't deserve these rights.
Yeah.
I don't care that I make millionaires, billionaires at my expense.
Yeah.
And I thought it was maybe not a heel promo, maybe a tweenery promo, really.
Yeah.
Because it all came from this position of ignorance.
Yeah.
And I found it so profound. And then the crowd got up and started clapping.
Yeah.
As if this thought of you was righteous.
It's a tough one,
and
you know.
It fascinated me because I was like, actually, his entire mentality is ignorance and cut off nose to spite face out of pride.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
I don't get it.
Because tons of what he said, I agree with and believe in. And tons, I think, it's far more nuanced. The UFC is a good example at the moment where they are treated as independent contractors, but they aren't allowed to go and work elsewhere.
Yeah.
So how can they be independent contractors? They should, if they're independent contractors, then if they've not got a fight for a bit, they should be able to go and fight a cage or Warriors in the UK or at Bellator or wherever else. But they can't. So that says to me they're not independent contractors. Mm-hmm. So in that instance, similar, comparable to the WWE guys, for example, they should, if they're not allowed to work elsewhere, then they should have the full rights as an employee rather than as an independent contractor.
Or even image rights.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
On-demand subsidies, like merchandise subsidies that adequately reflect.
What I then agree with, though, on Robbo's promo is if you are fully independent, then unions are a valid thing. Equity, which I know the independent guys have had meetings with and all that. Just quickly, we've spoken about the ability to control your narrative with social media and videos and stuff. James Musselwhite deserves a shout out for being such a puppet master in some of the best promos
100%.
With David, with Spike, with 100%. So many other people.
He's the best possibly in the world.
And David in particular, he's one's just the ones where it's just him on camera. It's like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also do see that if you are an independent contractor and you're working at, you have the freedom to work at a variety of different companies, then I can see why the independent part there would, like what Robbo was saying, that I don't have anything guaranteed because I'm an independent contractor. I see that and I kind of agree with that. Again,
if
there's unions, equity, other things to back you up. But
I understand it to a point, but actors are in the exact same situation.
Yeah.
They have unions.
Yeah.
They have codes of conduct that people must adhere to because of the force of the power of the workforce.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the same as that. They have people that look over contracts.
Yeah.
To see what their merits really are.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
They have people that teach them their value. If you look at other sports, they are paid something like 51% of what I believe is turnover in wages to their roster or their staff.
Yeah.
Which is why you have these obscene wages in things like football. When it comes to WWE, the number is 8%.
It's why it's such a fascinating and interesting comparison to the UFC, because the UFC is similar. The promoter is earning far more than any of the actual talent,
that's
any
capitalism.
Of the fighters.
I understand that.
Which it's weird because, again, it's not right. In boxing, it's been the opposite for ages, but it's why there's so many different organisations and it's a bit of a mess. I can see that at a certain level. And let's take the UFC and WWE out the equation there. If you're going to an ICW show, a lot of people are going because it's ICW.
Yeah.
They're not going because of an individual on that card. Now,
yes,
the individuals, the card can't exist without those individuals.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that all the value is ICW. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's still the value is still the individuals. But I can see how if you've built a brand like the WWE or the UFC, then you can go, well, you know, we deserve a big part of this cake because we've built this platform that we can then build superstars, we can build a John Cena, we can build this and that, but it's because of our platform. So yeah, it's a weird one.
I feel like 50-50 sounds fair.
Yeah.
When you look at the corporate ins and outs of it, the amount of bodies that are involved in the admin side, if you will.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably significantly fewer to share that piece of the pie with than there are with your roster.
Yeah. I'd say 50-50 is an easy amount to work on things like image rights, on things like merch, 50-50 of profit. 50-50 on or any fucking accurate or measurable split, if you're not a genius mathematician, is tough on house, on pay-per-view, because there's a lot of people on that card. Certain people 100% have more value than others are bringing more things like that.
I'm not saying you equally divide that, 50% of turnover amongst
these people,
amongst Buddy Murphy and John Cena or whatever. Yeah, you know that the house throughout the years has been built on Cena, so he's going to get a bigger percentage of that 50%.
Yeah.
However, those should be the numbers that we're looking at.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel that when it comes to other sports that do divide quite evenly like that, and you do see Raheem Sterling on $300K a week, it's because he makes that money for that organisation.
I mean, to back it, I come from the music industry, and on gigs, our percentages were always... It's been weird doing stuff like podcasts or live things like that where the split isn't as good, because we would have... I'd often do... and this is boring to people, potentially.
No,
but, we do have to wrap things up in a minute, but we would, for example, do an 80% versus deal. And the thing would be, if we sell over 80% of the tickets, then we get 80% of the profit.
Okay.
So that's a really strong deal for music industry. But again, the point is, the venue has bands on all the time.
Yeah.
The band is what's making the difference.
Yeah.
So if they do that, then they... And it's a profit, so it's not saying that we take... that you end up on a loss. But if we are the band that brings in that high percentage, then we are the band that gets the benefit of that. Anyway... we need to wrap things up there.
Sorry, tangents.
We're about to be kicked out and John's panicking. Just quickly as the last thing, what do you see as your future? What do you hope is ahead? Where can people contact you and kind of...
So the older Twitter and Instagram, at the Jack Sexsmith, is on the socials. The future's interesting. I think what's a BoJack quote? You've got to let go of everything before you can truly be happy.
Yeah.
So I need to just reevaluate. What do I want from this life now?
Yeah.
It's another one of them epiphany moments needed, I suppose.
Yeah, just, it really is.
What do we look at? Where can we be active, where we're passionate? And what are the things that make you happy and how do you get involved?
And the thing for me is that the British wrestling scene, I don't feel is dead. There's more organisations that are smashing it than there particularly have ever been before, which means there's more... behind the scenes roles, there's more commentary roles, there's more ring announcer roles, there's so much more that can be done. And I think the way you have navigated your career says that you have a mind that can hugely benefit any organisation in those roles. So I think there's definitely...
Bless you. I'd love... My dream would be to get involved in a booking capacity. Yeah. I'd love that, mate. I really would. I've always... if put it in rap terms, I always consider myself... more of a Kanye than a Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I've never been a lyricist. I've never been a technician. But when it came to my art, I wanted heartstrings. I've always been trying to make my version of Runaway, I suppose.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much. John is literally shitting himself next door because the next session is meant to be in 3 minutes. So we'll wrap things up there. It's been a bloody pleasure, mate.
Thank you, as always, my friend.
Thank you. Cheers, man.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. I hope you enjoyed that. There was a lot of love in there for Mr. Jimmy Havoc. I've not mentioned him as a previous guest. I'd forgotten because he was on the Drunkcasts. So on one of the end of year, the Distraction Pieces Network Drunkcast. So I think 2 Christmases ago, he was on that. So give that a listen if you fancy it as well. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope no one was offended by any of the discussions or debates that took place. As said, I've got nothing but love for all the wrestling brands, all the indies, all the majors. You know, it's all good. It's all good here. So yeah, and particularly like extra love for Progress. Jim Smallman for now, leaving, but Glenn and John are both absolute legends. I think what the three of them have done for British wrestling is undeniable, and I think it's mad that people seem to within a year or something seem to forget all of that and spin and start thinking that it's all, I don't know, everyone's attacking everyone or everyone's out to destroy everyone. I think that's absolute nonsense. So mad love to the Progress lot, mad love to Tuesday Night Jaw, go and listen to that wrestling podcast. I'm going to take more meds and go back to bed because this is just rambling nonsense. I feel like I'm starting fights now that weren't even happening. Anyway, I'll be back next week. Fuck knows who's on. You'll see. It's going to be a good one. I've got a load of good ones already recorded, so it's probably someone brilliant. All right, I'll see you next week. Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.